You're listening to Love and Libido with me, your host, Dr. Emily Jamia. I'm a licensed sex and relationship therapist and author of the new book, Anatomy of Desire, 5 Secrets to Create Connection and Cultivate Passion, which is currently available for pre-order everywhere books are sold and through my website, emilyjamia.com. The goal of this podcast is to educate and inspire. Here's what's coming up on today's episode. Social media has completely changed the landscape of relationships. It gives couples a lot of gray area to consider when thinking about what constitutes as cheating or even little boundary violations. How does social media affect relationships? Can it offer any benefit? How do you talk to your partner about boundaries regarding social media use? We are going to chat about all of that and more in today's episode. I'm joined by my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Rachel Needle. Dr. Needle is a licensed psychologist and certified sex therapist in private practice, as well as an adjunct professor of psychology at Nova Southeastern University. She's the founder and CEO of the Advanced Mental Health Training Institute and co-director of Modern Sex Therapy Institutes, which provides continuing education to mental health and medical professionals and sex therapists around the world. She has been featured in a number of popular magazines such as Glamour and Cosmopolitan. Without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
Yes, I'm so happy you're here. We have been friends for a long time, and I always love following the millions of things that you do because you do a lot. I know I read your bio before the show started, but I think it would be helpful for our listeners to hear a little bit more about you and how you got into the field before we dive into today's topic.
Sure. So I'm a licensed psychologist and a certified sex therapist, and I am the co-director of Modern Sex Therapy Institutes, which is a wonderful company that provides continuing education, certifications, specialty ones in the area of sexuality, as well as sex therapy certification and a PhD in clinical sexology. So I'm very proud of that. And I usually say I was born into this. You know, my mother opened a women's reproductive health center when I was 2 years old. And, you know, I grew up, you know, looking at, you know, reading Dr. Ruth books off her shelf and hearing her speak. And so just sort of fell in love with it myself, started peer educating when I was in high school for Planned Parenthood, and always knew I loved psychology. So it was really wonderful and nice to be able to merge the two loves and passions of mine.
I love that. I love that. It's such a good story. And I think it's so fun when things kind of stay within the family. I think anyone listening right now probably has heard me say how my dad is an OBGYN. And similarly, I grew up feeling really comfortable talking about sex, which I think is unique because a lot of people don't. So sure. I think we have that in common. So sex and dating and relationships have certainly evolved through the years. But if there is one thing that has had probably the biggest impact in, let's say, the past 10 to 15 years, it is social media, which is the topic of today's episode and an area of research interest for you. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you became interested in the relationship between social media and sex and relationships as part of your research. And you can talk a little bit about your studies, and then I have like a million questions about it. So wherever you would like to begin.
Awesome. So, you know, social media and social networking site had become just a way that we all love to communicate and garner and maintain relationships. And I was starting to see the impact on real world romantic relationships. And I think when I really decided, okay, I want to learn more, I want to do some research, I want to start reading more on this topic, was when Facebook decided to introduce instant chats, like video chats, right? Mm-hmm. So we already had the ability in the middle of the night when we couldn't sleep to go on and like see that, you know, someone else was on and message them directly all night if we wanted to, right? But now we're taking a step further where now I could actually see you face to face whenever I wanted to, as long as we were both online at the same time. Yeah. So I think I just saw, oh, wow, this is an area that I think is going to be really challenging for couples to navigate. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of be the first to kind of look at that. So
what about it do you think immediately struck you as something that would be challenging for couples? Like what were some of the early red flags, if you will?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have a tendency to confuse digital intimacy with real intimacy, right? So, you know, me, you know, to start with me seeing your pictures, right? I see your family, I know what you're doing. Like, then we start to like each other's posts. And I'm aging myself when I'm just kind of going on the Facebook direction here, but it goes for all of the different sites at this point. You can, you know, someone knows when you're looking at their stuff, and you know, you become the first one to do certain things like or heart. And so, you know, there was a way for me to start to think like I was closer with you than maybe we were in real life, because I was able to be part of your life in a way that before I hadn't been, right? And so again, then they started doing the instant chats, which we had been familiar with things like, you know, old school, like, you know, AOL chats and then the, you know, G chats. And but this was in a way where I was communicating with people that I didn't necessarily have all their info already, right? These are people that, you know, I knew from growing up. Maybe it was someone I had a crush on growing up and nothing ever happened. Maybe it was somebody I was in a relationship with or had a one-night stand with growing up, you know, and where now I could start to talk to them more often, see their life, become more involved, and then again, now start to actually have face-to-face interaction with them, no matter where in the world they were. So, you know, so many issues arise from that. And I think it's important to also focus on the positive too, right? There are some very positive things about social networking sites, right? Communication can actually be better between couples. You know, we don't think about that often, but you know, it there's opportunity to have conversations that maybe we didn't have in the past,
In
and
what way though? Like, what do you think it is about social media conversations back and forth compared to, let's say, just texting each other back and forth?
yeah, so I think we would be having, and what I mean by that is just having the need to talk about something, right? Like when people enter into relationships, we often see this where people don't actually talk about their relationship agreements. They just assume them, right? Well, social networking sites kind of puts it in your face, like, okay, what am I okay with? And even if it comes up in a way that's like accusatory or has to do with surveillance at first, like it fosters the need to communicate. So
I
that's one.
see.
Also, when I say communication, I also mean about, like, you know, if couples are in long distance relationships, what a cool thing to be able to start to see more about someone's life rather than just talks or texting. To couples can use it to share their common interests and like strengthen their bond. They can also surprise and do things on social media to show affection towards their partner. So there are some positives, and I always like to just make sure we say that before we go into, okay, here are all the problems.
Sure. I get that. I get that. And it is nice, I think, for people who, I mean, I think of myself and some of the friends that I have on social media who I probably wouldn't see that much in real life. And it is nice getting updates and seeing pictures of their kids and what they're doing in life and their achievements and everything. It's fun. But you know, there are some drawbacks, I think, especially for couples in terms of time spent on the apps and that gray area. So let's talk a little bit about that, because to your point, a lot of couples don't really delineate all the nuances of relationship agreements, and social media has created a lot of gray area. Is it okay to like someone's picture or post of the opposite sex? What about connecting with exes or just general people of the opposite sex? Like, these are things that a lot of people haven't really thought about. Like, what constitutes as cheating? What's over the line? So, what are some things that you've seen?
Yeah, so let's start with, you know, just kind of having a sea of options, right? One challenge that social media creates is that it creates opportunities to connect with people from past life as well as meet new people. So we see, especially in one of the things that I found in my most recent research study, is that particularly those who struggle with attachment anxiety, like being abandoned, et cetera, will be challenged by this, right? Having a partner, having anxiety because your partner has just accessible options in their face all the time. Another kind of topic is surveillance. So, you know, we know, and past research has shown that like people use social networking sites to engage in surveillance, even of their friends and family members, right? But when it comes to romantic partners, we're seeing that a lot. So on the one hand, there is a way that it can increase trust and security. But again, going back to the type of person, especially the more anxious one, if you keep looking, you're going to find something, right? So the more you look, the more, you know, the more you might find something that you're not okay with.
Right, right. And I think it also brings up the conversation about the difference between privacy and secrecy, to your point about surveillance. I mean, let's say you're out with a group of friends on a girls' night or a guy's night, and you take and post a picture, and maybe there's someone of the opposite sex in the background, and it was totally innocuous, but now your partner has seen that, and they're accusing you of crossing the line. Like, that kind of thing, I think, can draw a lot of bring up a lot of anxiety and insecurity for couples.
Absolutely. So that, yeah, like both the monitoring, right? So monitoring and looking for things that you know, are questioning. Like, if you're in a secure relationship and you feel comfortable, you're likely not going to be the person that cares about the, you know, person in the background. Right.
Right.
So it highlights, I think, these things, but you're bringing up a great point. And one of the things that comes up a lot is jealousy.
Yeah.
So research suggests that jealousy, as well as other negative outcomes of social networking usage, can lead to relationship dissatisfaction. And we're seeing the ability to have more things to be jealous about when people are both engaging more. And like you said, time and energy is a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it takes your attention away from being in the present. I mean, there are relationships where I'll hear, you know, well, we're sitting there, and even though we're just watching television, right? That's our thing to do together at night.
Sure.
I see this person on the phone the whole time. And
right.
You know, why can't they just be present with me? Or, you know, or even like, you know, one thing that's come up a bunch is like, you know, we finish having sex and the first thing that person does is grab their phone.
Oh, such an insult. Yeah.
Right. And it becomes very hurtful. Like, wow.
Yeah. You know, what about me? Let's cuddle. Let's
hi.
Yeah. Totally.
And now a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Is emotional and physical intimacy a challenge in your relationship? Do you long for the feeling you had in the honeymoon phase? You're not alone. I've created a tried and true method for reinvigorating your relationship. My private online workshop takes an innovative yet scientifically based approach to teaching you the tools to cultivate passion and create connection that lasts. Visit emilyjamia.com/workshop for your free trial. I am so confident that you'll have a positive outcome that I've created a 100% money back guarantee. You really have nothing to lose. And if that's not reason enough, subscribers to my podcast get 50% off. Subscribe to the show and use code HALFOFF at checkout. Offer expires at the end of the week. Visit emilyjamia.com/workshop today. And now back to the episode.
So what kind of advice do you have for couples on how to have these conversations regarding boundaries with social media? What is there a general rule or guideline that you advise couples to adopt? Or would you say that every couple is unique and different and has to make that determination for themselves? I mean, how should couples start these conversations?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And yes, it's very, so it's both very individualized, right? Highly individual and context dependent. So want to make sure that you are just engaging in open conversation about social media networking and media in general, and what are your boundaries, because that will help to mitigate potential negative consequences, as well as to enhance the positive aspects of online interaction. So start the conversation openly, and, you know, don't wait, and just, you know, start saying, you know, what you like about social media, what you like, you know, like less, and sort of, you know, can we talk about what we're comfortable with? I want to share what I'm comfortable with, and I really want to know what you're comfortable with.
Right.
And have those difficult conversations. And, you know, again, for in relationships where you're having these conversations with different topics, it's going to be a lot easier than introducing a new type of communication just for this.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So if you're already in a relationship where you're having open communication and difficult conversations or relationship that can be difficult, right? About topics that are more emotionally charged, I guess is what I mean.
Sure.
Then maybe you already have that way that you interact, and you and your partners like are able to, you know, communicate openly, not get defensive, use the right terms, speak in feeling language, and be able to find a middle ground more easily than if you never had these. And all of a sudden you're introducing that kind of communication for social media in particular. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be very telling. Like, again, you have to be really careful the way that you phrase things. You want to talk about feelings. You want to talk about for your own comfort and how, you know, what you're wanting. And you want to ask your partners what it is that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And if you're not on the same page, you have to be able to find that middle ground. Like, what is okay? What feels okay for me? And then try to understand, is this about me or is it really about the relationship?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. What are some items, for lack of a better word, that couples may not think of as it relates to social media interaction? So we're talking kind of broadly, what types of things are you comfortable versus uncomfortable with? Like, what specifically are maybe some snags that people may not anticipate as it relates to social media interaction that then come up and you're like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. We should have had a conversation around that. What kinds of things are you seeing?
Well, so I think first would be, again, the time and, okay. and how that feels for a partner to mm-hmm. have that taken away and to not feel as connected. Also, research supports that even just thinking about the online potential relationship alternatives decreases real life commitment and satisfaction with your current partner. So if you are going on and I'm saying, you know, wow, Emily's really hot. I wonder if she's single. I wonder, like, mm-hmm. even me just thinking in that way, if I don't plan on doing anything about it, can impact the relationship, you know, because highly committed partners actually tend to think and act in a pro relationship manner. So mm-hmm. they'll do things and they'll talk about things as if we're a we, or they'll give off and share things about being in a relationship where when you're not, you might be more open and not want to share that because maybe somebody will see this and I don't want them to know all that in case there's a chance. So that's something that, you know, I see come up a lot is that.
So you're saying people may be censoring how much they're putting on social media to give the illusion that they're maybe more available than they actually are.
Correct. And just
interesting
what you put out there as well as what you think when you're looking, you mm-hmm. know, like if you're looking for alternatives, the alternatives are there. There sure. are millions of people on social media sites and, you know, some people are, you know, stricter in their guides of like, I'm not going to let somebody I'm actually not friendly with on, and mm-hmm. others, you know, we'll introduce, oh, this person looks good looking, or they look nice, or we have one friend in common, and we'll then open the door to a relationship that they never even had anything to do with. Right. So
right.
There's that. I think again, the jealousy component of understanding a little bit more about yourself and mm-hmm. what you're looking for in your partner, like, you know, surveilling your partner and monitoring, is that because you're really interested in, oh my gosh, I want to see, you know, how Emily's day was and, you know, how their trip is going? Or is that sure. because I want to know, is Emily doing something I'm not okay with? Did she really
right.
tell me what she was doing today? So
right.
knowing your intention and what your goals are for doing certain things can be really telling, because if you're somebody jealous, again, you're constantly checking, you're going to find something that you're not happy with.
Exactly. And I think to your point, even just going in with the mentality that they're doing something, that you're looking, that you're surveilling, I mean, that in and of itself, whether or not you see something obvious or not, is going to create anxiety in the relationship and feelings of insecurity. It'll spill over, I think, whether or not there was actually any evidence to point to. Yeah. So that being said, what are some ways to lessen the impact or to have a satisfying relationship in this era of social media having taken over our lives?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to start with the one again that I know I've mentioned, but communicate, right? Mm-hmm. Communicate about boundaries in the relationship, what you're comfortable with. So, you know, talk about both time spent together and what you're comfortable with in terms of, you know, I'm comfortable with you being friends with exes. That doesn't mm-hmm. matter to me. Or mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable with you being, you know, friends with random people you don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Who mm-hmm. maybe just find attractive or just kind of like.
Right.
I would also talk about your social media habits, talk about how they affect your relationship so that we can increase the comfort level in having these conversations and make sure that we're on the same page. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not okay with your partner sitting there scrolling while you're watching TV, have that conversation. Or right. the amount of time that a partner or partners is spending. Like, again, try to understand how much is about me and then how much is about the relationship, but have those conversations openly.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss. So you brought up privacy, right?
Yeah.
This also in terms of what people are comfortable with in terms of sharing about, you know, you sharing about your partner. So talk right. about your comfort levels with sharing relationship details on online.
So I think that's really important, because I think that's something a lot of people, you don't really realize you might not be on the same page about it until someone posts or writes something in the caption that you're like, whoa, 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 I don't want that out there in the world.
Correct. Or some people aren't even comfortable being on it at all.
Yeah.
Right. For
exactly.
different reasons, whether it's mm-hmm. their job or whether they don't want to put themselves out there. So
mm-hmm.
talk about what's okay, what's not okay. Is it okay if I posts about our children. Is it, you know, do you okay if I post about date night? So I have now gotten in the habit of, I ask everybody before I post, is this okay? Right. Yeah. Because I came up with a situation where I had a really close friend of mine who, you know, was not comfortable with the amount I post. I share a lot. Mm-hmm. So I have kind of cut back a little and make sure that I ask people I'm with, right. like, right. Hey, Emily, like, do you mind if I post, are you okay with this picture specifically? And are you okay if I post the picture that we were out to dinner tonight?
Yeah.
So the same goes with your partners as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so worth it to ask that question because I think most of the time people might be okay, but every now and then you will get someone who says, you know, I'd really rather not. And it's so important to respect that boundary.
100%. Not everybody shares their life and their details the same in the same way.
Right, right. And I always like when someone says that they aren't comfortable with something being shared, it always makes me think a little bit more about what I'm posting, whether or not they're there with me or not. Because I'm kind of like, you know, I think there is something to be said for putting every little thing out there on social media. I mean, where is the line? When is too much too much? It's certainly a conversation my husband and I have had to have. You know, I think you and I both have professional accounts and, you know, you have to really be mindful of what you're putting out there for the world to see. So yeah, it's definitely something, you know, we've had to talk about a few times, I think, over the years and it's good. I mean, I appreciate it. So he's had to rein me in.
Yeah, 100%. And it's an ongoing conversation, right? Because what someone's not comfortable with today might not be what they're comfortable with next week. So you continue to check in. And I think also quality time. So I know we've talked about time in general with respect to social networking, but making sure that you're prioritizing quality time together without distractions from screens at all, right? Mm-hmm. Like technology-free time where you can just be present and be together. Yeah. I think it's really important for all relationships.
And, you know, one thing that just came to mind that we haven't really talked about is how seeing someone else's maybe happy post or seemingly perfect lives can make you feel about your own relationship when maybe you're having a hard time or going through some relationship struggles. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. We have a tendency to compare.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to relationships, same thing. We are comparing ourselves to this idealistic, you know, portrait of what people are wanting us to see. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we're conscious of why we're looking at something and when it is impacting us is really important because remember, people are showing you what they want you to see. Mm-hmm. You and I know, right? Because we know people tell us everything.
Exactly.
So, you know, the kinds of things that I hear and then to, you know, a day later, see people post that is in direct contact with what I know is happening in the relationship.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So, take it with a grain of salt. Don't spend excess time looking at other people's lives because all that happens, even if you have the best relationship and the best life and you're satisfied, the more you look at other people, the more you compare and want what you don't have. And rather than do that, spend time in your relationship, focusing on what you love about that and what you love about your life together, as opposed to what you wish you had.
Yeah. And I just want to echo that for anybody listening. I mean, I cannot tell you probably every day that I see clients, it is a couple who, if you were to look at their social media, you would think that they had the most picture perfect, enviable life that you can imagine. And you just never know what's happening behind closed doors. So take it with a grain of salt, the things that you see on there. And if you find yourself in a place where you're having some relationship difficulties or some hard times, consider just getting off social media for a little while. Because even though you know and you can tell yourself, okay, I know everyone's not actually perfect, seeing that can still make you feel like you're not quite measuring up or like you're the only one who is struggling. So I am a huge fan of taking breaks from social media when appropriate.
I love that. It's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you see social media impacting relationship skills, particularly among, you know, younger people who are growing up with the stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it is, in terms of impact, it's changing the way that people interact, right? Yeah. They're having more online relationships than they are in person. So I think that it can definitely impact the way we interact and socially in general, but especially in relationships. So, you know, remember to take it offline, like literally take it off on being online
yeah,
and be present with somebody. So, you know, if that's the way that you're interacting, make sure that you are spending more time on the phone, on FaceTime, in person. You know, in younger generations, I do notice, like, instead of having phone conversations, they'll send text messages, right?
Yeah.
Back and forth. And I always recommend have more
pick up the phone,
actual direct conversations. So
yes.
And build that ability to communicate when you're not censoring your language, when you're not rereading 10 times to make sure that you have it said perfectly, when you're able to just be present with somebody. I think it's so incredibly important.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we miss so much when we're not interacting with someone in person, their energy, little shifts in their posture, facial expressions. You just can't get all of that over text messages or social media communication. So it's just really important, I think, to keep in mind is we just got to get together in person in real life as much as possible.
When you coming over?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm due for a trip. So yes,
you are.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Well, Rachel, it's always such a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Where can people find you and learn more about everything that you do?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Emily. So I have several websites. So drrachel.com is my personal website where I'll post, you know, sometimes writings and quote, you know, places I've been quoted in videos. And then modernsextherapyinstitutes.com is where you can find information about trainings and certifications and the PhD program. So those are my two main websites. And I can always be reached by email, either at drrachelneedle@gmail.com or rachel@modernsextherapy.com.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to include everything in the show notes so you can check it out there as well. All right, Rachel. Well, hopefully I can see you in person soon. And until then, have a wonderful day and hope to reconnect.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks again for listening to Love and Libido with me, your host, Dr. Emily Jamia. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and drop me a 5-star review. Positive ratings help keep the show going. As much as we can learn from experts, nothing makes us feel more connected than hearing from each other. If you have a question about your love life, visit loveandlibido.com and I'll answer it on an upcoming episode. And don't forget to get your copy of my new book, Anatomy of Desire, 5 Secrets to Create Connection and Cultivate Passion, which is currently available for pre-order. Visit emilyjamia.com to try my online workshops and read my latest blogs. Subscribers to my podcast can use code HALFOFF for all my online learning material. Finally, you can follow me across all the social media channels for daily sex and relationship tips at Dr. Emily Jamia. That's Dr. Emily Jamia. Thank you so much for tuning in.